Hi, I'm Daniel Lightfoot, Business Manager at Syngenta Ornamentals, and welcome to the podcast special, a timely and important look at some of the real issues and developments in professional horticulture, featuring interviews and insights from experts all across the industry. This special episode delves into technical issues, new developments, and the practical challenges that our industry faces day in, day out. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to episode 3 of the podcast. Thanks very much for tuning in. And this week, we're going to look at biostimulants with Syngenta's Glenn Kirby. Glenn, welcome.
Hi, Dan. How are you?
Yeah, really great. Really great. Looking forward to having a chat with you today about biostimulants. But I guess it's your first time on the podcast. So can you just, you know, tell everybody kind of your role at Syngenta and what you do?
Yeah, so I am the technical manager for UK and Ireland, covering ornamental controls and sports turf. And I've been with Syngenta just sneaking up to 3 years now. I studied horticulture when I left school and then went into turf management for a number of years. So got a background in horticulture and been enjoying my role at Syngenta for a little while now.
Fantastic. I'm sure that role's really varied and I'm sure you get, you know, stuck into loads of things. But one thing we have, I guess, seen that's growing and growing and growing, and I'm sure that your role encompass more of it as time goes on, is biostimulants. And it's something that we really wanted to touch on at the podcast and find out a little bit more. So biostimulants, what are they?
So that's a really tricky one to describe what they are, Dan, but we can very easily describe what they're not. They are not there to protect plants from pathogens or pests, and they are not there for providing nutrition. So they're everything in the middle. They're not fertilizer and they are not pest control. They are everything in the middle to improve plant health.
So that's obviously seems quite vague. Is that so? Where would you find out information about whether the product is a biostimulant or not? Is it on the label, or do you have to go somewhere, or, you know, how are those kind of things classified?
Yeah, well, up until recently, it's all been really grey, I think. And we've got some upcoming EU fertilizer regulations which aim to really clarify that. And then at that stage, if it's a biostimulant, it will be clearly stated on the label. But at the moment, you can probably claim biostimulant around a number of things. But in the near future, that will change and things will tighten up, and you'll be needing to support any claims with some data to support and prove what you're saying is correct.
That's going to be much better for the growers, isn't it? If the biostimulants are going to come with supporting data for them, as far as I can see, is that something you see as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been an easy market to kind of slide anything into in the past. And what hasn't really happened, as far as I can see, is a large investment in these kind of products. They've been there in the background and they've kind of done a job and say kind of slipped into one category or another. But I think you're going to see over the next few years a real clarity of that market just kind of clean itself up and just become quite clear cut. Is it a fertilizer? Is it a plant protection product, or is it a biostimulant? And those biostimulants can come from a number of places. So to kind of answer your original question, what are biostimulants? They're a natural product that comes from a number of different places. There's hundreds of different types of biostimulants, and they all do slightly different things. And I think the key to all of this is exactly what you were saying there, is supporting this stuff with some data. And we're now at a point where we're kind of reaching a kind of critical mass or a turning point where large agricultural companies like Syngenta are really investing in these biostimulants now to support the research and actually pull some really good data out to support these products. So it's quite an exciting time. You know, I've been with Syngenta 3 years, and when I started, we weren't really in that biostimulant market, and we're moving into it more and more now, and there's more research being generated and more data being generated. And we're going to learn a lot over the next 5 to 10 years about these products and how they fit into people's programs.
So it seems like there's a lot more noise around biostimulants, and they're becoming more of interest and use to growers. But haven't these things been around for a while? I've been in turf grass like you and in Syngenta for over 6 years now, and you know, it seems like we've always had biostimulants around. Is that right?
Yes, there's always been biostimulants around, and there's always been some biocontrols around as well, particularly in the ornamental market. The ornamental market's been leading the way with biocontrols. I think the difference now is there's some gaps kind of appearing in people's programs. We're seeing increasing regulatory pressure on traditional chemistry. So we're going to have to look at these biostimulant type products, this plant health aspect of plant management, much, much closer. And biostimulants are going to play a bigger and bigger role. And like I mentioned earlier, we're kind of reaching that point now where we're really heavily investing in understanding these things. I think in the past, we've known that some biostimulants are out there and they do a job, but I don't think anyone's really invested a large amount of time, money and effort into understanding properly how they fit into people's programs.
I guess what this leads on to probably one of the next questions I was going to ask you, you know, why are people starting to adopt a biostimulant? You talked about losing plant protection products, but I'm sure that's not the only reason. You know, what are the kind of multitude of reasons that people are starting to adopt and feel that it's important to move into biostimulant use in their programs, as you say?
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons. I think the end customer are really driving greener products and greener solutions. And that's the man on the street, the wife that gets the flowers sent to her, or it's the supermarkets that are buying from our growers. They're all driving and requesting greener products. We're seeing increasing regulatory pressure around bringing chemistry to the market. And that's important and it's good. And we're having to find ways of building stronger programs. And plant health is becoming absolutely critical to that. You know, a stronger, healthier plant will resist disease more. It will resist insect challenges and attacks better. So we've got to do everything we can to build plant health. So it's coming from a number of places. It's this drive to be in a greener, better environment longer term is driving these changes. And it's going to take some real thought on the part of the grower about how they piece these programs together. But we can see that biostimulants are going to be an important part of it.
So great. Look, we can see, I guess, why biostimulants are being adopted. We've got tougher regulatory framework. We've got increasing pressure to have safer technology. We've got demands from the customer. And also there's kind of a drive towards monitoring digital that's also kind of part of this as well, which I think is incredibly interesting and one hopefully we'll come on to on another edition of the podcast. But I guess those things are already positive. Surely there's some challenges.
Yeah, of course there's challenges. Biostimulants as a product, they don't tend to do the same thing that chemistry does. I'm sure there's a desire from our customers, from our growers, to get out there and apply things and see obvious and quick solutions. And biostimulants don't really offer that. When we're talking about biostimulants, we are just talking about plant health. If we're talking about biocontrols, then that is something very different. So a biostimulant is not going to offer any disease control. It's not going to offer any kind of insecticidal properties. It is purely about building plant health. And that's difficult to get some really strong data on. You need really good products and you need a really good research program to understand where these things fit in. And then you're going to need a good technical support team to explain and help the customer get the very best out of these. So yeah, it's not going to be easy. They are not clear cut, apply it Monday, see a massive improvement Tuesday type of products. These are about being slotted into the right place, into people's programs to get the best results and move things forward.
So do you think there's more education needed around biostimulants to the grower? Because if they're not going to get the same results, or it's going to be, you know, they're not sure exactly how they're going to work, is education more important?
Yeah, education and research are the two key things here. I think it's been all too easy in the past to release biostimulant type products with nothing to support them. So we as a company have a responsibility to do more research, gather more data on these products, understand where they work at their best, what impact they're going to have, and then communicate realistic advice and manage people's expectations on them. And then we can train people and we can work with them about where to best place these type of products into people's programs so they can get the best out of them. So yeah, education, research, data are all key parts of this biostimulant strategy longer term.
Glenn, you've mentioned strategy, programs. I guess it's all part of what we're seeing now as this kind of integrated pest management or integrated programs. Is that how you see it? Is it about integrating these, and how do you see that being done?
Yes. So using these kind of products, it's about understanding what it is you can achieve with each one. Now, each biostimulant will have different types of properties and achieve different types of things. So if we look at a product that we're in the process of launching at the moment, a product called Hycure, which is an amino acid based product. Amino acids are fundamentally the building blocks of proteins. And in order to get the very best out of amino acids, you need to be applying them at a point when the plant is under stress. Because when that plant is under stress, what it will start doing is start breaking down its own proteins to generate those amino acids again. So by understanding that process and understanding what an amino acid is and what its role is in plant physiology, then you can understand when to apply that product to get the very best out of it. And that's the kind of thing we're trying to do at Syngenta, is just work really hard on the research, gather the data, get a really good understanding, and then communicate that with the end users, with the growers, so that they can place it into their programs in the right place.
And obviously it seems like there's a lot of work coming forward from Syngenta, and it seems like it's very much research driven. Is there any kind of challenges with the research that you see? How difficult is it to get that data to be correct?
Yeah, it's tricky because we're, you know, if you look at us as a company, we're geared up to look at traditional chemistry where you're getting 90% control as a kind of minimum. And that's really easy. I say easy, but it's much easier to pull some good solid data out of those things. Once you start getting into biostimulants and you're looking at plant health, the differences between treated and untreated are much closer. The gains aren't so great. These are kind of small gain type products, which is why they need to get built into strategies, because they don't solve a problem by themselves. They kind of work towards solving a problem in combination with other parts of that strategy. So putting that research together, it is long, challenging, and we will get better and better and better at it. But at the moment, yeah, I think with Hycure, the products we're talking about, we've been doing about 6 years worth of research on that, trying to understand exactly what the benefits are of it are in different crops and where and how to use it. So it's not something you can just go out overnight and come up with a solution.
If you had to think about, if you were talking to a grower about biostimulants and you just had to get them to remember three key things that you think might help them tomorrow or throughout the season, could you think of three that you think, right, this is important?
Yeah, the first thing I think I would recommend they do is ask the manufacturer or the supplier for some data as to how to use that product and the trial work that's been done on it, because that will give you a real clue as how to get the very best out of it. So that's the first thing I'd do. Secondly, I would really understand what that product is, what the method of that kind of mode of action for that biostimulant. And then you can really piece it into the program. You're trying to hit it early stress. You're trying to use it when you've got some stress. What are you trying to achieve with that particular product? And then I think I'd kind of go to application. It's then understanding how to apply the product in the best way. Is it foliar absorbed? Is it root absorbed? Is it something that's better going on at low water volumes, high water volumes, through a coarse droplet, through a fine droplet? There is a lot to be gained through applying these products in the right way. And that's only through understanding what the product does and how the plant utilizes it can you then start fine-tuning your application methods in order to get the very best out of it. So I think, yeah, they're the three. Ask the manufacturer or the supplier for some details on it. Understand the process, the mode of action, what it's doing to the plant, and then that keys into getting it on and apply to the plant at the right time in the right way to get the very best out of it.
It kind of feels like you know what's coming next week, because I think the fourth edition of the podcast is we're going to talk about art of application. So I'm really excited to see, because I think that's a an area where, you know, growers can get real value and really improve what they do by improving the way they apply products. So, Glenn, look, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast this afternoon. Thanks very much for sparing the time. I'm sure you're incredibly busy, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon. Have a great afternoon.
Cheers, Dan.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you want to know more about Syngenta Ornamentals, then please visit our new website, syngentaornamentals.co.uk, and have a look at the Syngenta blog, which is on there as well, which gives some really good technical information about some of the issues that growers are facing at the moment. You can find us on social media, on Instagram and Facebook. Just look for Syngenta Ornamentals. If you have any questions, please email me at daniel.lightfoot@syngenta.com. Enjoy the rest of the day.